Hi, good evening. I hope everyone is well and sheltering in, I guess. The parasha this week, of course, is Shabbos HaGadol, and I'll just do a little bit of the parasha and one thing from the Haftorah, and then we'll get on to Pesach. The parasha this week differs in one thing from last week. If you notice that the order of the Karbonos has been changed as opposed to in this week. And the reason is really a very simple one. Before Vayikra El Moshe, and it's to all of Klal Yisrael, in this parasha is Sav Es Aron V'Esponov Lemar. These are the karbonos that pertain to what Moshe is telling Aaron and his sons to do, and therefore it's getting out of the way all the pertinent categories of what the services of the Kohanim have to be during that karbon. So therefore the Chatos comes earlier in the parsha than it did last week. One very interesting thing all the time, if you notice at the end of every parsha, they have a siman for the number of psukim in the parsha. And Tzav, the interesting thing is, says the siman is Tzav, 96. But it doesn't take a mathematician to figure out or to add up the psukim, and it comes to 97, not 96. So it's very interesting because obviously there was some other calculation of the psukim there that is not, they considered something that we consider two as one. And this is not the first time. There are other things, other calculations that are of that nature. One very cute thing, one of my mispalim told me many years ago, on the word Vayishchot, of course, we have a Shalshelis, which is very strange because just on a lighter note, Vayishchot has a Shalshelis, which is a zigzag note, and Shchit, of course, we know has to be glatt and smooth. That was just the sidelight to the parasha. On one thing, if you notice, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, once again, is that you notice how many times in Parshas Pekudei and then last week in Vayikra and now at the beginning of, and throughout Tzav, it's everything that Moshe does, we're being set up for the demise of Nadav and Avihu. Because the Lashon, as we know in Parshas Shmini, which we read after Pesach, it says, Ka Asher Lo Tzivo Hashem Osam. And we keep on saying over here that even Moshe Rabbeinu did Vayas Moshe Kechol Asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Everything is Kasher Tzivo. Even Moshe would never have the temerity to do anything that he wasn't strictly commanded to do by God. And that's why, regardless of the crime of Nadav and Avihu, the chief crime that they commit in the end is doing something that they were not told to do. Even Moshe would never do that. The Haftorah is one thing that I wanted to mention in reference to Shabbos HaGadol. In the Haftorah, it's the Arvel HaShem and Chas Yud Rav Yerushalayim. It's the very last Nevuah for Klal Yisrael. Malachi was the last of the Nevi'im, and the last of his Nevuah is Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Yom Bo HaGadol VaHanora. The simple point is that there is no tomorrow, and God needs to send somebody to straighten everybody out. If there's no time for doing tshuva, it's when the time comes, it's literally do or die. Who's talking on the phone here? It's do or die, and there is no second chances. And Eliyahu HaNavi would be the only one at this point to do that job because he was all fire and brimstone. Because one might think that the person that would want to say to send to is the Moron Shel Klal Yisrael, who was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why previous to that, the Pasuk before says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of Moshe. But Moshe had one thing that separated him from so many in the Nevi'im, that even though he chastised them many times, when it came time to stick up for Klal Yisrael, he always did. The problem becomes at the end of days, it's literally the end of days. With Nei Yom Bo HaGadol VaHanora, there is no chance for a make-up date. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to stroke you and say, you'll do better tomorrow. Only Eliyahu HaNavi, who brooked no insurrection, never. He was always, and that's why at a bris, we have the Kisei Shel Eliyahu, because he was so critical of Klal Yisrael, God wanted to show him that Bnei Yisrael are still doing a bris. And of course, that's why we know that he comes to every bris. And the same thing at the Seder, that he comes at this point. So I just wanted to mention that in terms of that. Now we'll move on. The yes, one other thing. all right. So what I want to do is move on to Pesach now. And what we're doing in the Haggadah is really, it's interesting right away. When we start the Haggadah, immediately we say things, and we say, Kadesh, Ulechatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Yachatz is the prelude to Holach Ma'anya. In other words, everything has a ceremony and a reason we do it. We break the middle matzah, and then this is the middle matzah. It represents Holach Ma'anya. We always take a piece of bread. A poor person takes a piece of bread and he puts it away. If he has one, he doesn't know where his next meal is coming from necessarily, and he puts away something for later. So this is after we break the middle matzah. It's Holach Ma'anya. The interesting thing about Karpas is that normally we would want to, we wash our hands, of course, but we do not make a bracha. If by accident one makes a bracha, of course he would have to eat larger than a kazayas. And the reason we are told to eat less than a kazayas on the karpas is so that we don't have to make a bracha achrona, because when we eat the karpas, we're supposed to have in mind the maror, and therefore we won't have to make a separate bracha for the maror, even though we washed. If the maror is something during the meal, but it's not part of the normal diet of the meal, what's normally served, then we would have to make a separate bracha, the same as we do for dessert. So, and to avoid making the Baruch Pi Adama for maror, we have in mind to make the Baruch Pi Adama, but we eat less than a kazayas. The reason for making less than a kazayas is if we ate more than a kazayas, we would have to make a bracha achrona. If we made a bracha achrona, then we would have to make another bracha. It would call into question, should we or shouldn't we make a bracha for the maror when we have the maror? And that's why we do that. The same thing applies, why don't we make a bracha achrona after the first cup of wine? It would seem to be in order. We drink a cup of wine for the first course, we should make a bracha achrona. And of course, you're thinking that we have enough time. We're going to, we have in mind to eat the second, to drink the second course right before we wash for the meal. But the reality is that's more than 72 minutes later. If we don't literally rush, we don't want to be forced to make the Seder very quickly. So we do it within the, we takes us longer, the Maggid takes us much longer than an hour, generally speaking. And so that's, as we call it, Kedei Ikol. It's, you start to get hungry again, so we should make a bracha achrona. But of course, Pesach night, there are special rules, and that's why we don't do it. But normally there are, we should think in terms of those things. The Holach Ma'anya has one thing that is the end of the pasuk is, it says, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach. What is the difference between those two facets of the situation? In Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, we know that the Korban Pesach was only eaten Elul Minuyov. You had to be on the list. You had to be on an invitation list to be signed up to eat from the Korban Pesach. Of course, that wouldn't be the case today. But nevertheless, what you're doing is, we're saying there's two reasons that one would sit down to eat. And one would be if somebody is a hungry person, he needs to eat and he's looking for some food to sustain him. So Kol Dichvin, what we are inviting the people in, Kol Dichvin, Yesev Yechel, anybody who literally needs to eat. He is starving and he wants to eat. We're inviting them to the table to eat. Called Ditzrich, the people who need to eat to be mekayim the mitzvah, they're full. It's nechal al sova. We eat it on a full stomach. Those people we're inviting in now. If you need to eat from the carbon to be mekayim the mitzvah, to fulfill your obligation of the carbon Pesach, then you call ditzrich yesiv yivsach. The interesting thing again, we talked about the Arba Bonim last week, but there's something different as well over here. The categories are really only two in terms of the parent. The four different types of people we understand, but the parent of the Chacham and the parent of the Rasha could be one and the same type of a parent who's doing, because if you take a look at the Lashon, what is the reason the answer to the Chacham is Eimaftir and Achra Pesach Hafi Koman? Because he's a Chacham and he knows basically all the laws of Pesach. So the only thing you might have to offer is Eimaftir and Achra Pesach Hafi Koman. Of course, we all know that the Mefarshim tell us that that's the last Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. It begins with Eimaftir and Achra Pesach Hafi Koman. And so that's synonymous with learning the whole Masechta. But the truth be told, that the Chacham were telling him, Eimaftir and Achra Pesach Hafi Koman, is we want to teach him. The father has done a good job teaching him all these things, but what possibly he's left out is, if you want to leave the tam of the yontif in your mind, in your daily life, in your heart, in your mouth, to learn. And therefore, Eimaftir and Achra Pesach, don't do anything to distract you or to leave the taste of the Torah in your mouth, the taste of the Seder, to leave it with you at all times. The Rasha, on the other hand, what are you going to say to him? He is also the same person. When he says, Moa avodo hazos lochem, he's telling you in those words, he says, I know all the laws of Pesach. The father has done his job. He has taught him all the laws. He's been to yeshiva. He's learned everything that he has to do all about Pesach, except the fact is he doesn't accept it. And he says, as I mentioned last week, Moa avoda hazos lochem. I don't agree with having to do all these things that you find necessary to do. To me, that's above and beyond. Now, the Makos is very interesting in one thing. We know that God does things mida keneged mida, but what's very interesting is to say that the what is the point of the last Makos, if God strengthened his heart. If God strengthened his heart, so what we know is that God is telling us that why should he be punished? The point is he's being punished because the early Makos, which he was asked to let the people go and he did not, because of his own hard-heartedness, now God is punishing him by doing this. All right. Okay, next page. Page 3. Okay. Beinyan, we have over here, now, getting back to Avraham Avinu, we read all these, so many things in the Parsha. And Avraham Avinu, as we read the Parsha, it said God came to him in the Brisbane of Sarim and told the people, God told Avraham that he's going to be, if you want to get the land, I'm willing to give you the land. But unfortunately, there's one proviso, there's one catch. You're going to be enslaved. Your people will be enslaved for 400 years. But I'm giving you the opportunity to make a deal. If you're willing to accept the deal based on the Achrechen Yitzu Perchush Gadol, and then you'll go out. So is it fair to say that Avraham made a deal for the money? In that respect, it sounds a little far-fetched, but then why is he saying that? So the point is that he didn't really have the choice. He just wanted to know that perhaps when he says "Bamo Edaki Roshena," right now we are all you're giving me the land, but I want assurances that even if the Klal Yisrael don't live up to your standards or the standards that I have set forth for them, perhaps after doing all those years of Shibud, you will find them not worthy of being taken out. In fact, so we know that was the point, and that's why they went out after 210 years, interestingly enough. Hava Neschak Malo, the pasuk that we have at the beginning of the parasha of Shemos, Hava Neschak Malo Pen Yirbeh. This is obviously, we're talking about the paro. What is the message of Ayakom Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef? What the Melech Chodosh did not know and did not realize is when it says, what is the wording of the parsha say? V'chasher yanu oso ken yirbe v'chein yifrotz v'yokutsu b'mnei b'nei Yisrael. And they multiplied so quickly. And v'yaviv, you know, they gave them such hard labor for such a long period of time. Had he known, had he been witnessed, had he been an older and understood what was going on, he would have seen that fact. But Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, he didn't realize history, if he'd studied, that the harder they made them work, the more they multiplied. So now it comes down, Hava Neschak Malo, we have to be smart now, use our wisdom to realize what is happening now, and we have to set out to really minimize their population by literally throwing them into the yam. We can't make them work hard and not do something actual about it. So now that was the problem. Now, Moshe, as I don't remember if I mentioned, we have in the Haggadah, we know Moshe's name is only mentioned once when it says, Ve'yaminu b'Hashem over Moshe Avdo. They realized they were, what do you mean, now after all 10 Makos, they finally believed in God and believed in Moshe. In Parsha Shemos, when it says, Vayeda Elokim, what does that mean, Vayeda Elokim? When Paro dies and it says they had Vayenchu Bnei Yisrael Minu Avodah Vayezaku, when they cried out after Paro died, they had a chance. What is Vayeda Elokim? Up to that point, what was happening all the time is when somebody, for instance, somebody would get sick and he cries out. But who is he crying to? Who is he complaining to? Is he crying to God, or is he crying to the idols, or is he doing a little bit of both? You know, you have these people who just, they pray, and they don't have anyone in particular they're praying to. And up to this point in time, they were praying to various people. They were steeped in Avodah Zarah. So the fact that they would pray, they had never prayed before just to God himself. Vayeda Elokim means now he knew, he knows what's going on in your mind, and he knew that this time they were calling out to the one God, they were calling out to Avinu Shebashamayim, and that's why Vayeda Elokim, he saw what they were doing, and therefore Vayamein Ha'am, they believed it at this point. The problem becomes, there are all these points along the way when they begin to lose a little faith. And the same thing happened by Kriyas Yamsuf when they say, you know, Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Matsraima, they were faced with the oncoming army of the Egyptians and they wanted to turn tail and go back home. Of course, what they failed to realize, the Egyptians had no intention of bringing them back now. They had every intention of killing them all at this point. But it's one thing is tells you about the level of anti-Semitism that the world has, and that is one interesting fact. Do you think that the Egyptians couldn't see when you're going into the sea, if you're riding, you go down to the shore and you would walk into the water, you know it's going downhill as you walk into the sand and the what's under the water. It goes downhill, and you know you're into the water. did they not look when they were riding with their chariots? They didn't see that there was a wall of water, mimi nomu mismolom. They didn't see the wall of water to the left and the right, and didn't think that after 10 makos in Mitzrayim that this would have been a bad idea. But the hatred for the Jew, the hatred for Bnei Yisrael was so great, they literally had blinders on, and they just rode headlong into what they thought was dry land. The Bnei Yisrael made it through, and they were going to chase them through this. Do you think anybody would cry out and say, I think before we go in down the hill into what, between these two walls of water, we ought to think twice about what we're about to do, especially in light of what we've been through the last year with the 10 plagues. It might be a bad idea. That's something that we have to be aware of all the time in our in this day and age, obviously. Let's see. Let's turn over here. And now, one Rebbe once said to me, we say the phrase, Yochol me reshodesh Talmud Lomer Bayomahu. What was that mean? There was a story once with a, we know the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, the Rebbe comes and makes a long speech, but this time, he used to, when he would prepare, everybody was prepared for the speech and they would come in and listen. And after the Rebbe finally passed away, his son took over his position and he came along and people were waiting for the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. A week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and there are no references pointed. There's no lists of what we call the Marim Makomos, of where, what he's going to speak about, or what the, you know, where to look up to be prepared for the speech, which is the normal thing to do. The topic will be, and if you want to prepare, look up these sources and you'll come in prepared. And finally, the day of the speech came and they said, we wanted to be prepared and you didn't put up any of the source material for us to prepare. And he said, well, my father was able to do that. And he said, Yochol, somebody who can, who is able and competent, me rosh chodesh, he prepares, he could put up the Marim Makomos from rosh chodesh on, the source material 2 weeks early. Talmud, a Talmud like me, just a beginner student, is bayomahu. I'm not ready till the day of the time that it's time to make the speech itself. Why do we call out the certain parts of the Haggadah? We say it, and we say it quietly, but we just read it. When we get to Dom Tzvardeya, we say these 10 plagues, and of course, we say them out loud, and everybody joins in and says, Dom Tzvardeya, so on and so forth, and we go through. And the reason for doing that out loud is, Kol Dover Shebekdusha Tzricha, you know, you have to sing it, you have to say it out loud. Tzorich Lahachriz, you have to say it out loud. And since the 10 plagues, each one was a nace in itself, we say it loudly and proclaim it to lionize the feats of God. Now, interestingly enough, also, every year, if somebody would have, we know when we have a Seder, we have a prescribed meal, and we do all these things, karpas, yachatz, we eat the meal, we have the four cups of wine. Interestingly enough, we know that the Gemara asked the question, how come we have four cups of wine, when we know even numbers in Jewish law, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, are bad to have anything that's an even number. We don't do anything in pairs. Odd numbers are much better for us. But the point is, we throw caution to the wind because it's Leil Shimurim. It's a night of protection. And so we have four kashas. We have four cups of wine. We have everything to show that we are not afraid, that we are under God's protection. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that we have to do anything silly and do things. when we say Shefoch HaMoscha, by the way, Shefoch HaMoscha is one of the reasons that we don't say a bracha on Hallel. One of the reasons we might think that we should say when we say Hallel at the Seder, why do we not make a bracha? We're saying the Hallel as it is during davening, and so why not make a bracha? But of course it's interrupted by the meal, but it's more than that. The prayer that we say after davening literally puts the kibosh on the whole idea. Praising God is one thing, but when we say Shefoch HaMoscha El HaGoyim Asher Lo Yedoucha, we're interrupting that flow and saying we want you to pour out your anger at the other people, and that doesn't go along with the subject matter. We don't want to stop and ask God. So Chachamim put that in to sort of put the kibosh on making the bracha. Now, the meal that we have, if you have an anniversary, somebody gets married, and every year they celebrate their anniversary. If they celebrate their anniversary, there's various things to do, and you can go to one restaurant, another restaurant, you order what you feel like that night. The anniversary of Pesach, to say that we go through the prescribed things that we have to do, no roast chicken, we have this, we have to have this at this point. We never recreate anything. We want to show that we're still in line with the Torah. We do that, and we are, we have that in mind all the time, that we're doing exactly as we're asked. Now, one thing that is very interesting, again, it says, Baruch Shomer Haftechasol Yisrael. Who is that? Many times you see the Chumash use the phrase, as I mentioned previously, and certainly in Vayechi we see it, the Yisrael. Sometimes it means Klal Yisrael. And Baruch Shomer Haftechasol Yisrael. Was it to Yisrael or was it to Yaakov? So Baruch Shomer Haftechasol Yisrael, it's talking about Yaakov. That we thank God that he sent out to Mitzrayim, not Avraham and not Yitzhak. The problem with sending Avraham and Yitzhak, they wouldn't have had enough people at that early time in our lives. If we had gone into the land of Israel, we wouldn't have enough people to occupy the land. There would be no point in giving us the land. So Baruch Shomer Haftechasol Yisrael, he gave the Haftacha to Yaakov and not Avraham and not to Yitzhak. It wouldn't have worked any sooner. We'll see about next week is Tuesday night, is the night of the Bedikas Chometz. So we'll see. We'll try to get something going for more for the second days as well. Kol Shlishi is, let's see, Hallel B'limrocha that we covered. All right. Don't forget to sell your chametz, however you do it, and we'll cover a few more topics next week. Hopefully we'll do about a little bit of a shorter, but we'll do more of the Seder next week. Have a good evening.